tell us about silk. What is your project with silk now?
I have been working on creating a book on silk. Silk just as a fiber. Second largest used fiber after cotton is silk. And we have been trying to trace the history, the uses, the expression through civilization, and India's role and participation in this fiber called silk. So we traced out that India has two main silk cultivation processes, cultivated silk and the wild silk. Cultivated silk is the mulberry silk which happened in Karnataka, in Bangalore, and we have a famous India Silks Center in Bangalore. And community around in Karnataka is doing mulberry silk farming of cocoon and industry around it. It's a big, big industry. We did that shoot, and it really made us very humble how the whole process of a little worm which makes a protective cover for its own sake, and man one day by chance discovered that this thread is really long, and one cocoon can have a kilometers of long single one piece of thread. North of India in Bihar, in Bhagalpur, is known for the wild silk cultivation. Wild silk you can't really cultivate, it is in the forest, but tribal community is consciously had been engaged in that trade for many, many years. So we went down with group of us, two of us in camera, one of us as a direction, one in taking notes, and traveling in the forest and the tribal community, villages, a small cottage industry, NGOs, and searching what is the story of a wild silk. And it is incredibly beautiful that a little insect who would make the cocoon is nurtured in the forest on the tree. It has not been, it's not in the house atmosphere, which Karnataka does it for the mulberry silk. It's very, very different. And finally, cocoon hangs from the tree as like a fruit. And tribal community picks them. It's a process of 60 days. They nurture them throughout and finally they pick them. And they take the yarn and they hand spin it. So they hand spin it and hand weave it, and I never knew that this silk was khadi. That story for me to discover that this whole wild silk is predominantly is khadi when it is processed in this manner. And it is extremely sustainable a process. The way they take the cocoon, sometimes they allow the cocoon to walk out. So they have a wild silk and it has a different luster, and there is a whole industry, not knowingly, they are not saying it, but it's a non-violent silk. Non-violent silk, which has been very much in discussion recently. I saw the whole community working, creating non-violent silk without even telling that it is like that. There is tassar as an industry too, where reeling happens in a conventional way. But till the cocoon process, it is wild. It is plucked from the tree and then it is processed. The thousands and thousands of people are involved who are making khadi silk. They are hand spinning it and hand weaving it, and it's beautiful. And it has this, it is called, it has a golden copperish color of its own. And it's extremely beautiful and lustrous. The idea of this for us was to know the fiber which we work with, and also it is part of our communication material. We have been working on a project in Upasana says no India through textile. Mm-hmm. And state after state, we feel that there is something that state has to offer and say through textile. Mm-hmm. So we have been working on the publication and communication material on that series, and this silk book as a possibilities, we are doing it for corporate gift project. This silk book will become of a gift project. Book of its kind, which is just not really focusing on processed goods. Once silk is done in a yarn form, there is a whole range of spectrum of creativity has been poured down to this particular fiber. Every culture, every state has woven silk in their temperament and their creativity. And Banaras is known for Kanchipuram, is known for China, is known for Indonesia, is known for Japan, is known for their done incredible. The whole Europe has been known for. Now it's not happening, but it had been. They have arrived at excellent creative process of silk weaving. My discovery was to see India's contribution and processes of the tribal community cultivating, making silk, and making non-violent silk, and making khadi silk. This book is going to be published in 3 months' time. It will be available for people to look at. And I'm really happy that it gave me opportunity to do this whole research of that. And we have been now inviting people and saying, tell me the story, how would you, in your personal or social, cultural context, would use silk thread? And this, somebody said, in North India, all the sisters on Raksha Bandhan, when they tie the yarn on their brother's wrist, which is basically, it is a silk yarn. And the silk thread is tied for sisters seeking protection from the brother, or brothers promising a protection to a sister. Oh. It's a huge festival. It happens, it just happened on full moon day a couple of days back. And any girl can choose a brother that day. And any person, anybody, she ties that thread, it's called Rakhi, that man is ought to accept her as a sister and provide a protection. As it's an emotional bonding, and it's the girl can choose anybody for brother.
And can any woman choose someone as a protector, as a brother, or as a son?
As a son, you can choose. There is no festival around it. But brother, there is a big festival, it's called Raksha Bandhan. And the brother would, he cannot deny it. He cannot deny, he does not have that power to deny it. Anybody can stand on his door and saying, I have a Rakhi for you. It means that he obliges, that he accepts that woman as a sister. And then he offers gift. And he has to, there is an emotional bonding of having a sister around. So a couple of years back, we had created Sunamika Rakhis, and we had said, and we had distributed to all over India, and said that sisters from coastal part of India seeks brother and seek for their protection. They are sending their Rakhi, who will not even see their brother who they are, but this Rakhi is open to humanity to receive.
So this custom takes place in North and South India, throughout India.
Predominantly in North India. I have not seen South so much. I think it's a North India's festival. It had been used very beautifully by Kiran Bedi, who had been IAS officer in jail. And she transformed death victims into a different being altogether. And she asked the widows to come and tie Rakhi to the murderer of her husband. She said, you cannot change unless the consciousness is changed. And the guilt of the man and the anger of this woman can never will find a place unless they face each other. And she created this huge invitation where thousands of people turned up. And it was a day in Indian history, and it happened pretty recently. Decade or two decades back she did it. She had been a very, very beautiful person to take this kind of social processes into a creative building of society. So we started, the story started at that first silk thread, or first Rakhi, which was tied to the brother's hand. It was a silk thread which a sister chose to tie on the brother's hand. Then the priests wore all their dhotis were in silk, and spiritual masters wore silk, and silk seems to be having the only fiber which can hold the spiritual intensity, or rather that electric current to which other fiber will not be able to contain it. Cotton cannot contain it. So the masters, generally they wear silk that enhances their personality and their own aura. And that's where silk had been used for. Even in the special rooms, curtains will be made into silk. That energy field is protected, nurtured, and hold it in a space. It's beautiful. I mean, they're still processing all this data, and also asking people to tell their stories. So there are some stories coming from ashram, so I will go and meet them, some people. And a lot of this co-creation which takes place, and a lot of the little fine details which otherwise we miss, it gets nurtured. Mm-hmm. That had been Upasana. This had been Upasana's recent project.
This book will come out when?
In November. It will be published.
Very soon.
Yeah, it's... We also had been asked by Silk Board of India to cover all the processes of all over India where silk processing is happening, and we simply don't have time. We will do it in for future, and we will document and give it to them maybe and use it for our own purposes too. But right now, just because time is so short, we divided into two broad categories of cultivated silk and the wild silk, and got into two strong chapters only. But India has far more of a detail of how silk goes on. Assam has its own silk, and Maharashtra has silk, Odisha has its own silk, and Karnataka region also, there are a lot of different silks available. So it's fascinating what goes on in the small things, or beautiful sari which we wear. And frightening story is also there, that every sari, or to make one sari, there are 200 cocoons had been killed to make that. So
not the non-environment.
No, not the non-environment. But that had been somehow the fate of silk industry, that there is no other way than this process. If they don't do that, if...
Could you say how exactly these threads are taken from the cocoon and then kept the worm alive?
Keeping the worm alive, what happens where worm has to, the butterfly has to be come out itself, so it will break the cocoon and it will come out. Once the cocoon is broken, just because it's a one single linear yarn had been wrapped around and all over, when it breaks into small pieces then. It's one hole, but it disturbs the whole structure of the thread. And then it is no more of a kilometers long one single thread. It becomes a few inches long many threads. So that silk as a quality becomes very, very inferior. Mm-hmm. If normal processes, what cocoon would be treated, they are put into boiling water. And that's where the first thread start it. Opening it up, and once you just go on pulling, and it goes on long into many meters and kilometer long single thread, but the insect dies. Mm-hmm. The larva does not become butterfly.
No.
And that's hard to see. But then there is, when it is non-violent silk, or there is this wild silk, and how processes are happen, it's rather beautiful.
So in that, they allow the fruition, the butterfly emerges, and then they take the thread.
Yeah, then the cocoon is just a shell which is left behind anyway. Mm-hmm. And silk made out of that is called non-violent silk.
Mm-hmm. And its quality is superior?
Quality is inferior, but it has its own beauty. Technically, quality is inferior.
So which process produces the best quality?
The best quality silk, where it depends. In the wild range, there is a one particular quality, the smoother, the shinier one. But in that, cocoon always is boiled. If not, then you can't get it. and mulberry silk process, the fine silk fabric, what we like to see and wear it, it's all a normal silk where cocoon had been boiled and thread had been taken, 90% or 100%. But the wild silk will be that category, there is a chance. Mulberry silk also can have a non-violent silk, but it will become thicker, its luster will go, and slubs will appear, and in market the prices are much lesser for this. So industry does not go for it.
And these little creatures, these little worms, is there not a worry that they'll become extinct?
No, there is an egging process.
Okay.
The industry, just for the sake of protecting themselves, they also keep a certain amount of a percentage of cocoon where they allow the butterfly to come and they allow the male and the female to meet and create their eggs. Every butterfly creates some 200 to 250 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And just after that, the female butterfly dies. So her whole life is to go through this recreation process and then she goes. Now, the industry make a balance. They have their seed or egg bank where they create this egg and then they nurture it into... It is a cultivated silk process in the mulberry sector, so they anyway they cultivate or nurture them through mulberry leaf and trays and it goes on. It's a beautiful process, very, very beautiful process how it happens. And wild silk, they do the same. The egg are consciously introduced in the forest where they would like that cultivation to take place. Mm-hmm. And then they nurture. Mm-hmm. The family live in the forest. They are constantly there looking around how larvae are fine, they are growing well, and finally they are just before the manifestation, they are protecting themselves in the cocoon. It's a metaphor. It's actually a metaphor. But realization or manifestation, just before the manifestation, there is a threat. And someone was saying that humanity as a society, we have also not been very tolerant. We don't allow the butterfly of consciousness to come. We kill them before. We have killed Martin Luther King. We have killed Gandhi. We have killed many people. We have killed Kennedy. They were carrying something very, very powerful. And that to bloom and come, this level of tolerance where the creative process of evolution is visible, that what actually happens, and it happens and all the time, this cocoon happened to be a metaphor. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this beautiful story.